Oh, that's a good intro there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we are live on a Friday night. Oh yeah, there we go. This is Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats. I'm Casey. This is Big Mike. He's clearing his throat, but he is not carrying the COVID. How's everyone doing tonight?
I'm good. I my professionalism, which is not very professional, was even less professional just now.
Well, you know, there have been people that have said worse things on a live hot mic. So I think clearing your throat's maybe not professional, but not the worst thing.
It's forgivable.
Yeah, you didn't throw out a slur or something like that.
Or yeah.
And then go back to broadcasting a baseball game.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad I'm not in that category.
Yep.
I'll clear my throat again. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, and a quick shout out to the old Hey Bear. Good seeing you, bud, and Godspeed on your trip back home. So got to see an old friend was out in this neck of the woods. So
it's always good to see old friends.
Yep. Always good. So, you know, that's kind of about it. All right. This has been a great week. You guys
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah,
see you next week. Just kidding. We're not leaving that. No, you're not getting rid of us that quick.
I'll stop that song complaint.
Not getting rid of us that quick. Oh, my. Oops.
All right. Just kidding.
So we got TV shows tonight.
Yeah. You know, well, you have a lot of things going on because summertime, you know, it's like pilot season, plus then they throw on like live game shows, and then you're hearing about shows that get canceled or not.
Well, you mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
When we were having dinner before the show. Why is the summertime game show time?
Not sure why. I mean, I guess
people home? I mean, the kids are home.
The kids are home. It's cheap entertainment in the sense of, you know, it's production value.
Yeah, true.
You know,
you don't have celebrities or actor or actress. You're not paying these schmucks. They got to win their money.
Yeah. So, and people do like game shows, you know, and they get pretty good ratings when they do these. You know, there's a couple different ones out there, and then they've kind of revived some of the classic ones, the Match Game, Pyramid.
You know, maybe I'm the oddball.
Yeah.
I never really liked game shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Never. You know, could I tolerate a game show? I could tolerate a game show. Would I go out of my way to watch a game show?
No, I love game shows. But I think just how I grew up, just watched them. They're always on in the house.
You never pretended to be sick for you to watch them,
never.
Press your luck.
Oh, hi, sweet Melissa.
Oh, Are you busy?
Yeah.
We're just putting on a live podcast, but, you know, hey, that's not important.
Did you want to clear your throat, too?
I cleared my throat at the beginning of the show. I didn't realize
that
you were live.
That was the start of the show.
I mean, that made me want to take songs about clearing throat, but...
spare us. So, no, what I remember of game shows growing up, that's what was on before the news. And I would catch just the blips of maybe Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy.
Sure.
Before the news came on, because my pop was 6 o'clock newsman, going to have it on, no ifs, ends, or but news.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you remember, though, in the Wheel of Fortune, before they gave away cash prizes, when they were, say they won $1,000, but then they got to buy something? And they
no, I don't remember that.
But they're like, I'll take the Dalmatian statue. And no one wants that stupid Dalmatian statue. They always picked it. It turned out that they were told, like, you got to only select certain things.
Oh, really? So
why they're like, oh, I don't want that nice couch. The Dalmatian, I'll take that. You know, it's just
so and
it was fixed. That's why they kind of got in trouble.
They're like, hey, if you win money, we're going to give you a chance to pick your prize.
Yeah.
Don't pick the good shit. The stupid Dalmatian statue, we're not going to tell you, but it costs us like $20. That's what you're going to buy.
Yeah.
Not the couch. not the stereo system.
Yeah, stay away from the electronics or we're going to beat you in the head.
Wow. So it was fixed.
Yeah, that was in the 80s, and then they went to cash prizes. Oh, that's the man right there, Paul Heyman.
Yeah, we got wrestling on, everyone. It's Friday night. You know, I'm gonna kind of...
I don't know why he was ECW.
Heyman was ECW?
Yeah, that was his baby, yep.
I'm gonna just change subject briefly.
Yeah.
You know, it's summertime. It's still light outside.
Oh, yeah.
It's still light outside. Behind us, gang, the Studio C loft area where we're broadcasting from, we've got a nice window to view the parking lot outside of Studio C, and we still got light. It's nice. It's summertime. With
kids,
or adults,
right,
can be playing outside, or we could be watching game shows and getting hustled to pick the concrete. Was it Concrete Dalmatian?
It'd be a heavy dog.
I'm gonna look. I'm curious now. After the show, I'm looking this up.
But I've never been a real big Wheel of Fortune.
Okay, what was your game show? What was the one you look forward to?
Well, I always like Jeopardy because I like trivia.
Right. I can see that.
I liked Sail of the Century.
Sail of the Century.
And that was a morning one. I want to say it was on CBS.
I don't think I've ever watched it.
And it was a Canadian guy that hosted it. I can't remember his name. Hmm. He did a couple game shows. But, you know, you had like a bevy of these. They were all broadcasters that did the game show.
Makes sense because you're a presenter, and that's
Betty White was named or married to one. He did like Password, Super Password. I can't remember his name. He had white hair, big glasses, dressed really sharp though. He had like nice rings and bracelets and
schnaz. I think I know who you're talking about.
And he'd always start the show to be like, "Hey, doll," and he's talking to his mother-in-law.
Really?
That was just like son say hello to her.
Hmm. Okay, I'm going to take this back about the game show. The only game shows, now that I'm giving some thought to this.
Alan London. Good job there, Di.
I was just looking it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was captured on the Google machine?
Diane.
Oh.
I liked solid $20,000 pyramid. How much dollar pyramid was it when we were kids? Was it $20,000?
I think it was $20.
I found that to be a very entertaining
show. Oh, yeah. That was good. Well, you know, Dick Clark's a good host. And that was a Dick Clark production.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, there were certain rotating stable of people that would come on. You know, you'd get Betty White, you knew it was going to be a good episode. She was always a competitive player.
And Celebrity Hollywood Squares. What was that one?
That's come in many variations.
But the square show, because it was Tic-Tac-Toe, Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares, but... I like the one that had John Davidson. It wasn't too off the rails.
Then,
you know, they did a newer one in the 2000s. And I think Whoopi was actually the writer on that. You know, she was like the center square. But, yeah, I mean, they wrote material for all them. They're you know, most of the people are twits.
What you're saying is they weren't witty enough to actually.
Now, there was a weird variation they did in the 80s, and it was... I think it was called Super Password Hollywood Squares Hour, and it was both game shows together
simultaneously.
And it was the original guy that used to do Match Game,
right?
And then Bowser.
Bowser
was
from Sha-Na-Na.
From Sha-Na-Na would host the other half. Yeah, he got into the game show for a little while.
Along the same lines,
very goofy guy.
The goofy guy.
Yeah.
Jewish guy. Good Jewish guy.
Yeah. No, he's fine. He just liked to ham it up.
Speaking of we're on the subject of television. Did you watch Sha-Na-Na growing up?
Absolutely.
I did too. My parents, that was...
That's probably why they were more popular than... Because, like, kids watched it.
Yeah.
It was a family variety
Absolutely.
Show.
And you had guys like Bowser... That you're like, he's cool. While as a kid, you gravitate towards a guy like that.
Yeah, well, he was good at hamming it up.
Absolutely. But I did enjoy watching Sha-Na-Na.
Hey, listen, they played Woodstock, man.
They did play Woodstock.
That's pretty rock and roll.
That
dude.
Is very rock and roll. In fact, I have a Sha-Na-Na album. That was my dad's Sha-Na-Na album.
We had one.
Was it the one that was in a pink jacket? The
Can't remember. I'm not even sure if my dad still has that.
good old Sean and yeah. So there you go.
Yep.
Another well, go, no, go ahead. Game show. I was just going to touch on another game show. I you know, Price is Right wasn't bad. And
oh no, Price is Right is good.
Well, you know, what's his face who's on it?
True.
He hasn't shaved. Do they have, I guess the whole thing, at my place of work, there's some of it, we have staggered lunches. And so some guys have early lunches around 11 o'clock, 11:30, so they're catching Price is Right. And sure. I asked, I'd go back in that break room area to get your coffees or whatever it may be. And I'm like, why does Drew Carey have a big, yieldy giant like caveman beard? They're like, well, he's not shaving until they have live studio on audiences again. He's gonna look like Father Time.
That's amazing that his beard, it's like, how does some guys
look like Captain beard Caveman
grow that fast?
I saw it like 4 or 5 months ago and it was pretty big, but I can't.
I could like not shave for a year and it wouldn't even be like a quarter of the length. I guarantee it.
My beard would be, I'd look like Father Time. I'm kind of hairy.
But, yeah, Price is Right is good. I used to like Win, Lose, or Draw. That was with Burt Convy.
Yeah, Win, Lose, or Draw. So, okay, I take my earlier comment back. There are some game shows I like.
Also executive produced, Burt Reynolds.
Wow, Burt was involved in that.
So the we're going to peel back the curtain here for a moment.
All right.
So
what did the bandit have to do with it?
It was him and Burt Convy came up with the game. It was like a dinner party thing that they used to do when Burt Reynolds would have people. Yeah. It was something that they would do up the front. And, you know, kind of Burt Convy like a show like this. And the initial stage was designed to be like Burt's living.
How about that?
Yeah.
Because it was the set what looked like somebody's living room.
And the first week Burt was on and was part of the festivities and wow. played. And then, you know, Burt Convy, obviously he got sick and then, you know, they just never kept the show without him.
It kind of
went away.
I found the dummy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's take a look. Let's
see.
There's
actually a 20-minute clip for after the show.
That Dalmatian's a piece of shit. Yep.
I didn't even type in anything about a Dalmatian.
Wow. That's terrible.
Yeah, people would pick it, you know.
Wow. We're watching that.
Big Ed, did I hear you out there?
No, but... What's up, you two chuckleheads?
Just chuckling like a chucklehead.
I just need you to just stifle that, you know, energy.
That's
did you
the
have like a Red Bull?
Jeez. I had a bowl of Vietnam's, my new favorite place.
Where's pizza night here?
Yeah, we had pizza. We had some salad.
Pizza and salad.
It was good. We have to have our vegetables.
There's all the food groups.
Yes, all at once. Big Ed, we were discussing game shows. Any game show memories or likes you'd like to share with the group?
Sure, I always liked a good game show. A game show memory, I remember back in the day working up in Cleveland, watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire right after we just got done being a host. And I think Meredith Baxter was the host.
Yep.
And it was a dazed to confused question, and the guy got it right. And Meredith goes, yeah, that was a good movie, a lot of good quotes. He goes, the contestant goes, yeah, I've got a couple of good quotes too. And she goes, oh, what's your favorite quote? She goes, well, Matthew McConaughey saying, how I like them high school girls. I keep getting older, and they stay the same age. And the look of disgust on her face was fucking priceless.
That's awesome.
And then it went to commercial.
Sorry, Meredith.
Yeah, sometimes
sorry if reality.
Yeah, sometimes you got to read the room in life.
Yeah, she totally read that one wrong because she probably didn't remember that line. That is a great line, though.
And Meredith might have only seen that movie once or twice.
She might have
like,
heard
that's
about
exactly
it.
Exactly what my ex-husband said before he filed for divorce.
Yeah. As the tires were squealing out of the driveway, couldn't get away fast enough. Yeah. That
you
sticks.
You see how the women react to me.
I can't imagine with the beautiful gold locks that you have.
I know. It's
that a beautiful blonde mane.
I'm kind of like the American version of Fabio. Listen, yes. Why are you laughing? I won't, because there would be a lot of disappointment. Lots of disappointment.
Yeah, and he's a mimbo anyway, so you don't want to be that.
What's a mimbo? Male bimbo?
Yeah.
Well, if he was an ice cream flavor, he'd be pralines and dick.
So, if you have anything to share with us about TV, pralines and dick, or anything else we've discussed so far, Case, how can they get in touch with us?
That's a good question. Well, you can go to warmbeerandthecheapseats.com, our website, and interact there, and email, and what have you. Or you can email us at the show at warmbeerandthecheapseats. The show at warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. Or you can reach out on Twitter at beerseats.
And you got it right.
Yep.
Beerseats. I have to correct them this week. Pretty proud of you, pal.
Classic concentration. That was a good one.
All right.
With Trebek. So there would have the big
puzzle
board.
I remember the game.
So what you had to do, they had the, like a game of concentration, like a kid, you had the cards and then you had to match the prizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like number 23 and number 18. And then it would be like, oh, it's a
Dalmatian.
It's a 14-inch color TV. Sweet. You know, and then, which would be the biggest one in the neighborhood, 1984.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, and then it reveals a puzzle, and it's a picture, and then you got to make the phrase out of the picture.
Oh.
And it'll show like a picture of a nose, so it's like nose.
Yes,
and,
I remember
and then
that show.
Dog turd, it'd be like nose shit. And you got it right. It's nose shit. Now, but Trebek would be a little, he'd be a little smarmy with the guests on that one.
Smarmy?
Yeah, like, you know, just like, oh, you know, like, oh, so obviously, it's this, and this, you idiot.
You dumbass. I'm Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
You know who you're dealing with? You freaking weirdos.
So, yeah. Hey. But, you know, that was always a fun one, but, And then I know you're concerned, but they're going to bring back Grey's Anatomy for season 19.
I watched, like, I can tell you, in my entire existence on this planet, which is a long time now, I've seen, like, 3 Grey's Anatomy episodes.
I just don't know where they could go with the show. Like, what story have you not told?
There's one chick on there that's kind of hot, one of the doctor chicks.
Yeah. They've had so many people that left the show, though.
Because like, they've gotten bored. So,
yeah.
So
well, and they had the spinoff, so you had to do the practice.
Which I think that should have been on longer, honestly.
I think that was a better show. Was that Kate Walsh, right? Was that her name?
Yeah. I've not seen that show either. Yeah.
Kate
missed
Walsh
it.
Was on, that show.
Yeah,
oh,
that show.
That's a good one.
13 weeks, 5.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, I know of it. I just never watched it.
So, Grey's Anatomy, 19 seasons. Going into the 19th season.
Yeah.
So, we've watched people come in there as rookies, watch their 401ks mature and all this stuff, and they're still a bunch of bumbling idiots.
Yeah, I, you know, I can't say the only network television I've watched is Young Rock, and I haven't watched that consistently this year.
Yeah, well, that's coming back. They announced that one's coming back for sure.
I find the show entertaining.
Be Positive is coming back, which I was shocked.
What's that about?
I tried so many times.
A guy with like a failing kidney and some girl that's an alcoholic is going to give him a kidney, so.
Her kidneys may have some miles on them.
It's a really dumb premise show, but, you know, that producer's got too many TV shows on CBS, so you just can't say no to them, so.
A
Chuck Lorre.
Right?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah.
Well, that's because he hasn't had a pig yet, but I think he finally, you could probably put so much lipstick on this pig.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a saying.
So, yeah, I mean, young Sheldon's the, you know, the big comedy that he's riding right now. Mom just ended. You know, they're not bringing that back.
I've seen bits and pieces of young Sheldon. I can see that being entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I think there's a little nostalgia. It's got like that 80s twist to it, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah, like kind of Goldberg's kind of same thing.
Yeah.
Dude, that mom is Laurie Metcalf's daughter. The mom, the lady that plays the mom on Young Sheldon is.
Yeah,
remember Laurie Metcalf? She's a pretty one, because Laurie Metcalf was always kind of, you know, not quite as attractive.
She's a good actress, though.
Yeah.
So what else do we have on TV that's coming back, Case?
Well, there's just like, all right, so on the Science Channel, I'm watching, what was the show?
Strange Evidence.
Strange Evidence. And then, but they have also like What on Earth, and it's got to be the same production team because like everything's all set up the same, and like they show you some weird thing that happened. They caught on video, and they're like, how did this happen? They're like, obviously, it was a mutation. You know, it's a car that flipped over. So, you know, they throw that out. And then someone's like, oh, you know, well, it was in Russia. You don't know. You know,
yeah,
Putin.
Yeah, Putin.
And then what it was like, I don't know, he exposed electrical wire, flipped the car, because I guess that's what happens in Russia every day.
You know, their infrastructure is a piece of shit.
So, but I don't know. That show just drives me crazy. I always get sucked in, but half the time they're like, you know, I don't know what it is. And everyone just shrugs their shoulders and they just move to the next segment.
Get suckered into the next one.
It's like the modern version of like clickbait on the radio, or I mean on the internet.
On the internet.
You know, go read a bullshit story that goes nowhere.
And you got to keep clicking, and then the pop-up gets in your way. It's like, no. But I usually get into a rhythm where I miss the pop-ups. And I can read about the bullshit that I'm clicking on about 15 McDonald's recipes that never made it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, speaking of McDonald's, this is weird. This just, I don't know why it's popped into my head. There's a few YouTubers I enjoy watching. One of the YouTubers I enjoy watching, she just, on her YouTube channel, just a mention, and I thought, damn, that's a good idea. See, she's a child of the 80s as well. And she's like, I would like McDonald's to build a McDonald's the way it was, like a 1980s prototype,
right?
Just as the restaurants were in the 80s. And then have the food priced at the 1980s price,
right?
But the way they make the money is you have to pay admission to get into the 1980s McDonald's. I'd pay today's prices to sit and eat in a 1980s McDonald's. I think about the McDonald's, and McDonald's, in my mind, that is, I think it made the food taste better because I like the atmosphere in the restaurant. It was McDonald's on Dale Mabry, almost to Bush Boulevard, right before the Bush hump.
That atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere.
I thought you were going to
take it live. No. Let's all face this. I believe, you know, I'm regurgitating things I've said before. Fast food taste, the taste of fast food was better 30 years ago. 40 years ago than it is now. I think it was a better product.
Probably. They probably used more real food,
not processed crap. It was processed crap then, but less crappy. But I enjoyed just the atmosphere of that McDonald's. It had a lot of brick on the inside.
Oh, yeah. I remember that was a thing. Yeah.
So, speaking of fast food, they opened a White Castle.
Oh, out by you, huh?
Yeah, it's the biggest one in the country. And
how
people
crowded?
Are a lot. It's crazy. It's crazy, and it's crowded during the day, not at night, like after the bars, which...
Aren't those burgers not really good?
They're delicious.
Did everybody catch that?
Yeah, my job is to listen to the broad only.
What?
I love White Castle.
And you love listening to the broad.
I don't know, but okay, sure. When my sister was still living up in New Jersey, that was usually when I got picked up from the airport. That was the stop after the airport, was straight to White Castle.
I prefer a Whataburger.
Listen, Whataburger... We had Whataburger down here for a while.
We did.
And what a crying shame when they left. I think that was one of the best fast food hamburgers, hands down.
It was. It's a very underrated burger.
Super tasty.
Yep.
Great toppings.
Yep.
Yeah, but you can't compare Whataburger to White Castle.
They're different.
No,
the
but
market.
You can compare Crystal.
Yeah,
White
you
Castle
can.
White Castle crushes Crystal.
I can't see it's that much better.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with Casey on that one. Plus, you know, most of my memories or what are left of them from drinking was White Castle. I don't recall ever having until I opened a place in Chicago. The highlight was me getting Popeyes or White Castle for lunch for the guys, and they would just go crazy for it. And I'm like, this tastes good after 36 beers, but...
But completely sober, stone sober?
Yes,
it wasn't the same for you, huh?
I could only eat like six of them, but like after drinking all day, I could eat like, you know, a whole sack of 24, you know?
Oh, good Lord. That's a bad turd later. That's a bad turn.
You never thinking about that. Like when I was in Korea, phone. I'd eat these noodles that were so hot. Never thought about how it was gonna come out. You know, and it was painfully hot coming out.
Why are you saying that? We're watching you talk about
it. It's ironic, isn't it? There's a fast food that was once good that's no longer good.
Not nearly as good now.
Oh, Taco Bell?
Taco Bell, yeah.
Yeah.
Go back to the 80s. It was good.
There's a Del Taco out here, which is pretty decent.
Del Taco is way better. If I was going to have
it. Oh, Sweet Melissa was giving it the thumbs down.
You got the Del Taco on University there.
There was one.
Yeah.
And then out west or in the Midwest, depending on what region, there's something called Taco John's, and it's fantastic.
Tell us about Taco John's.
Taco John's is no Johnny mess around. All right. First off, they have like a meat and potato burrito that's fantastic.
You had me at the meat and potato part.
That's all you need. You need that and a Coke, you're good to go.
Where is it?
You're going to find them in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wyoming, and in Nevada.
All right. Yep. Nevada.
You know what?
I
think next week I'm going to do a review of my visit to the Macaroni Grill that I'm going to tomorrow. We're having a little Mac Grill reunion of all the people that opened the Altamont store. There's going to be about 10 of us. Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be like the original people that are still around in Orlando.
Yeah. That's not going to be a table that's, if quietly, highly critical of everything that's going on.
You know what was funny? A lot of us, we would go out to eat, not necessarily go to the bar. We'd just get something to eat after the shift. So we've sat down and had many meals together. So it'd be interesting.
No, that would be fun. I definitely want to I want to hear about that later. I do remember going.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good story.
When they closed Outback store too, to move it to its new location.
That would be the one on Dale Mabry. That is
here's in Carrollwood.
That was Carrollwood. Now it's a standalone, not in the strip mall anymore.
Yeah, just a little south, like a quarter mile south.
Not far.
But I met, I don't know, there was probably 20 of us. I was the outsider of the group, but everyone in that group was pretty much had opened that store, you know, in, I don't know, what was that, 1990 or 91 when it opened. And it was just kind of fun to be a part of that and just be a fly on the wall. And
it's nice to be part of that, you know, because there was a hardcore group at Chuck's. There was a hardcore group at the Outback there, and this Mac Grill here in Altamont. You know.
Well, there was definitely pride for sure.
Yeah, that shit's gone. I feel like sometimes like they're doing us a favor because they worked through COVID. Like, come on, blow me. I'm over it. I worked through COVID too. You know. And I didn't get the attitude. You know, you got a better product for me because of it, to prove that it could be done, you know?
Well,
there
we
you
worked
have
through
it.
COVID as well.
Sure, exactly.
And I've gotten zero credit, and that's okay with me. Whatever. Thanks, sweet Melissa. So, go to that Outback. Store two.
I'm gonna get one of those little banners around my profile that says, "I worked through COVID and my immune system worked."
There you go. You could probably sell T-shirts.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big sale on T-shirts.
Good.
A sale of Palooza, per se.
Sale of Palooza at BigEd.com. Get your T-shirts hot off the presses.
Yeah.
Wet teddy bears. No. No wet teddy bears.
Oh, by the way, Petey is eating shrimp.
Well, we got a Petey update sent to us, the show members. Petey is active. I was like, looked at the time there, Big Ed. It was like 3:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the morning.
Yes, he's
that. He's just kicking ass at that time of the day.
Well, yeah, you know, once you get that taste of shrimp, you know, it's going to be all over but crying for them.
Well, you know what? There was at one time close to 100 shrimp in that tank. Now I think there's probably about 30.
Petey was hungry, huh?
Well, I mean, the population has slowly been dwindling, you know. But, like, the last 3 months, like, I'm doing the math, like, Petey, shrimp population. Petey, shrimp population. So
has Petey grown any? Or is Petey full
size? That's it. He's a 2-inch. He's not even 2 inches. He's a little fucker. He's definitely like royalty. He's just using up the resources in there and not contributing.
There you go.
He's a Prince Harry, right? Like,
he's a U.S. royal.
Yeah.
Our man, Petey.
Yeah, but you know what? Every time I get a strange creature like that in the tank, usually it backfires, and Petey hasn't backfired.
When you say backfire, it doesn't survive?
No, like I had in another location I lived in my big tank, I had a lobster, and it just wreaked havoc. It tore up the plants at night, you know, and it would just try and eat the other fish.
Yeah, they're a pain.
And when it died, I couldn't have been happier. It was just laying on its side, the tank. I go, the wrath is over. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
How many years? What was the lifespan of that lobster?
A year, maybe a year, but it was a year too long, you know. Like it was really small when I got it, and it like got like five times its size, and you know, get ready for work and shit would be floating in the top of the tank. And they're live plants and they're a pain in the ass to get them to stick in the rocks, you know.
So how big did this lobster get?
3 or 4 inches. I mean, he was big to the... But he would sit there and he just would pull everything out, knock things over.
So he's unruly.
Yeah, so when he was dead, I was like, oh, cool. The wrath is over. Because I didn't want to, like, take it out and flush it or, you know, do anything like that.
Hey, Big Ed, were you doing an Ace Ventura thing with Petey the Shrimp, like kind of Finkel, Einhorn, Finkel? Finkel is Einhorn? Is that kind of what you're doing there?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Always experimenting.
I'll take that as a win.
Yeah.
You know, you can now follow our podcast if you're not already doing so. And if you're not and you're hearing this for the first time, then you're hearing our podcast.
That would be correct.
However, you can also now hear us on iHeartRadio.
Wow!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that happen? Who did you bribe?
Listen, when I start talking, things start happening. That's who I am.
Okay.
At the molecular level, that's who I am.
Wow.
Look, it's kind of embarrassing. I got to remind you, I'm kind of a big deal around here.
You know, it sometimes I take you for granted, and I'm sorry for taking you for granted and being a big deal, Mr. Big Deal.
That's all good there, buddy.
Thank you. So iHeartRadio, huh?
Yeah, we got iHeartRadio, and we're getting close to be on Pandora soon, so.
We're just shows expanding. The Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats universe.
Yes.
Is ever expanding.
Yes.
So, if you're not subscribing yet,
then
you better get your ass subscribing to our show. We're get in while we're still
ground zero. Yeah.
And then you can say, you knew us when.
Yeah. You knew us when.
Yeah. Like, when is now, guys.
Yeah.
So, subscribe. Tell your friends. Interact with us. Because we'd like to interact with you.
Yeah.
In a non-creepy way.
In a non-creepy way.
This is all non-creepy ways. They're going to stay away from creepy.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No.
Hey, so, you know, with the hockey playoffs have started, this is the first time ever we've had an all-Florida playoff matchup. As long as the Lightning and the Panthers have been around.
Been in existence.
And they've always been, I think, in the same conference other than, like, the Lightning's first year. It was the first time they're playing each other. Made me a little nervous. We had a little trouble.
Last night. Didn't win, correct?
But so they're up, or Tampa Bay's up on the series two games to one.
This unforgettable vacation memory. It didn't actually begin. 16 or 17 games.
Yeah, they play tomorrow in Tampa. So it's going to be a tough matchup. Though what helps is that we got Kucherov and Stamkos, a.k.a. Stammer, is healthy and back. So, you know, we got the full lineup. You know, we had key guys that were missed good chunks of the season. So even though we had a good year, you know, how it was split up was you played your just division. It was 4 18 divisions, right?
Right.
So you had 7 opponents you played 8 times. They did a 56-game season. So you know your division opponent. We know Florida really well, but
mm-hmm.
we played Florida hurt most of the season. Hence, Florida had the better record this year. But now we're healthy, and it's the playoffs.
This is when it all counts.
This is when it all counts.
This is the real deal.
So, you know, we got someone that we got on the line, but we're just going to wait probably a few more weeks. It's going to come in.
Get us up to speed on our hockey.
Yeah, he's going to be our inside, you know, guy on hockey. However, big shout out to the old Subway Slam. Looks like he kind of called it that Daniel Bryan would be leaving the WWE because it looks like that's the case. The rumor is he may be signing with Impact Wrestling.
Is he helping write the scripts? Is that how he knew?
Well, no, that would be awesome. No, it was just, an educated guess.
His expertise.
Just knowing like how where the storyline was going. He's like, they're Roman Reigns probably not dropping the belt, and if he doesn't drop the belt, that means that Daniel Bryan is not going to renew his contract. So it's kind of where they're at.
Now, Impact Wrestling, not associated with the WWE.
No. Nope.
Separate league altogether.
Separate. So you still have them. You still have All Elite Wrestling. And there's also Ring of Honor that's floating around out there too. And then there's, you know, smaller indie leagues, but he's too big to go to like an indie.
Correct. League. He's a name. He's got to go to a
like elite. Impact is probably the smallest of them. But they do, you know, pay-per-view events, so, you know, still opportunity for make a, you know, some money as a performer. So,
well, I don't think he would leave unless the money was right or the opportunity was right.
Or, you know, maybe he wanted a little bit more control of character, and, you know, there's all those things on the behind the scenes you don't get to see sometimes or
hear about until it's 10 years later.
Right.
5 or 10 years down the line. Then you get the real insights. Oh, so that's why that happened.
Have you been watching any of these A&E biography with the WWE stars?
You know, I've been real bad about TV during the week, and I haven't seen a lot.
So, I mean, and I'm sure it's on demand, but they did Shawn Michaels, Heartbreak Kid.
Yep.
Really good. Yep, you get the, almost kind of relive the childhood today. The Midnight Rockers, a.k.a. the Rockers, broke
up. Yeah.
When he goes in, gives him sweet chin music to Marty Jannetty.
Low just hit a two-run homer. Razorback in it.
Who?
Low.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, for the Rays, they traded away Adamas. Willie Adamas got traded away today.
For who?
I don't know. Someone just gave me a text, but that just means that Wander Franco, the superstar they've been holding in the minors, are going to be calling him up. He was the shortstop, so they just, I guess that just kind of made Adamas, you know, kind of expendable at that point. I mean, we have so many infielders on that team. You can only have so many. I hate losing Adamas. He was just a good ball player and a good attitude, you know, like a good rah-rah guy for the clubhouse. But, you know, sometimes you got to make room for the other guys. So
that's sports for you. That's life.
Yeah, that's life. So good luck there, Willie. I'm still rooting for you there, bud.
We were watching TV. One thing I noticed on our the Pizza Hut commercial, who's the comedian who does the...
Is that Craig Robinson? Is that
I think
name?
That is, yeah. Craig Robinson. What I did notice, you know, kind of circling back to talk of the 80s, did you notice in the most recent commercials that he had a Book It pin and a Book It t-shirt on?
Yeah. That was a thing. I remember that. So younger listeners, Pizza Hut used to basically pay you in personal pan pizzas.
They'd bribe you with pizza to read.
To read.
And I was happy to do so.
Yeah, the Book It.
Book It. Yeah. And you used to get stars to put on your Book It badge, your Book It pin. And it was like a 4-inch. Or so. I had one up until recently. Pin back that you would wear. You could wear it to Pizza Hut and you say, hey, I'm here for my... I forget how you got the personal pin.
We should make one with that font where it just says, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah. That would be a good
one.
That'd
be awesome. It had like the book with a rainbow over it.
Yeah,
fuck
exactly.
It. That'd be
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, just
say, you know, but it might be a little copyright infringement. But you know what? Fuck it.
Hey, listen, if you're not going to cease and desist every once in a while from a lawyer,
you're not trying. You're not trying hard enough, gang.
Listen, if you ain't cheating, you ain't racing.
That's right.
You're not trying. Hey, speaking of cheating and racing, did you just get a LeBaron or something?
No. A Fifth Avenue.
Fifth Avenue. Whatever. I'm sorry. The Fifth Avenue was the LeBaron with leather seats and stuff?
No.
This is classic.
This is
all classic.
I have a LeBaron that saved my life. I have it there.
Big Ed, it's a for our listeners out there, I am now a proud owner. I haven't taken possession yet. It's still up in Pennsylvania. I bought this car, found it on OfferUp. Talked to the owner, well, not the owner. I bought it from an 84-year-old lady, one owner, 74,000 miles, 1985 Chrysler Fifth Avenue, which is the rear-wheel drive, full-size Chrysler of the time, formerly known as the New Yorker, but that was moved down to the front-wheel drive New Yorker, which was on a K-car derivative platform.
Right. That was a piece of shit.
I got a Fifth Ave, man. It's white with a white vinyl top. It's got the half top, and it's got a blue velvet interior. So, you know.
That's class right
that's
there.
That's class. It's very swanky. Very swanky.
The car has four ashtrays.
That's when smoking was acceptable in America.
Yeah,
of course it does. In the armrest. It's a 1980. Sweet Melissa, it's a 1985. It's got one big ashtray in the front.
Yep, a big one.
Big ashtray. Because they expect you, hey, you're going to smoke.
Yep.
So,
and it didn't have cup holders, so you had to put the cocktail between your legs.
Between your legs. That's the one thing.
Or you can have a child hold it for you.
Here, hold my beer.
That's where the phrase came from.
Telling your kid, hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Then or something fun happens.
Do you guys remember, like, you used to be able to get the cup holders at either Kmart or the auto parts store
clip
that could clip it in? It used to clip into the window,
on
the windowsill.
Yeah.
So you could put your beer in the, or Coke.
Sodas,
beer, clipped onto the
window. Yeah. On the door.
Those were commonplace.
Almost like it was like a drive-in speaker box.
Correct. That's exactly what it would be like. Or they had the shitty little center console trays that went on the transmission hump.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, my grandfather, anytime we got a new car, he always had to buy all that stuff, and he put the beads on the seat, and then he had the little
shitty tray that went cup holders in it.
Cup holders, and then
your drinks would spill out of.
Yeah.
Then he had like the six mirrors, the rear view mirrors.
Yeah, he had added mirrors, and he's smoking cigars and all sorts of things going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of accessories.
They used to have those little shitty center consoles, like different colors to match the interior of your car.
Yeah.
When cars came with different color interiors, like blue or red.
Green.
Tan.
Oh God, Vlad just fucking tagged one. First pitch.
So I got a car coming. Hopefully it'll be here next week.
Are you having it shipped?
Yeah. Yep.
Tell us more about this car there, Big Mike.
Well, what would you like to know about this car?
Well, tell us the history of the Fifth Ave.
The Fifth Ave?
Yeah.
I would love to, because now that I decided this was a car, my very, very first car ever, every first automobile I ever owned was Fifth Avenue.
That was your first car?
Very first car. Yeah. In fact, it was an 85.
Yeah.
Except the Fifth Ave I had when I was 16 was gold with a gold top tan interior, which I have photos of it. You've seen photos of it here at the studio.
318?
318 two barrel, yep. In fact, 85.
Are you going to put a four barrel in it?
No, Big Ed, I'm just going to leave it stock because, you know, I don't want to get into the whole hot rodding the car up. I just want to drive it because what I know, I've hot rodded plenty of cars. It's once you start modifying a car, it's a snowball because you go, oh, it's just a carburetor. You're just swapping out an intake manifold and a carburetor, but then you've got to change linkage and then, you know, you got to have a different this and a different that. And
oh no, yeah. I would stop there. I'm different. I would just stop there. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So
I just want that sound of a police cruiser when you step on it, you know?
Yeah, and you hear the secondaries open up. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
That with the Fifth Ave. So, you know, I was telling you, what the Fifth Ave, what this car evolved from. It had very, very...
Was it the Demon?
No, it was after the Demon. Demon was before. It was... this car shares...
The Demon was a Dodge made for only but 2 years.
Aspen and the Velari.
That's what it was, the Aspen.
Yeah.
Which, when I was a kid, we had a Velari wagon.
Nice.
Red one. With the fake wood. It was nice. With a slant six in it. Super six.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's what this car evolved from. In fact, here's goofy trivia. When you do like research to buy a car, you get interested in a car and you start reading about it. The doors on a Fifth Avenue or any M body, which a Fifth Avenue is an M body.
Okay.
That's the Diplomat, the Grand Fury, and Chrysler Fifth Avenue.
Yep.
So all the Chrysler rear wheel drives of that, of the late 70s, you know, 79 to 89 was last year. And then they're derivatives because you had the LeBaron, the rear wheel drive LeBaron. I could go on forever. But anyway, the doors, the front doors on my Fifth Avenue will swap with the front door on a four-door Velari or Aspen. Same door.
Wow.
Same door. Chrysler, pretty much, they got their money's worth out of the tooling they spent.
Well, especially if you're kept the same for 9 years.
Longer than that, because the Velari came out 75, 76. I'm going to say 76 was the first year for the Aspen and Velari.
And they got every penny out of that.
Every nickel out of it. Every nickel. Chrysler was making money on these cars by the late 70s, early 80s. And then they just finally faded away because that's what happens when stuff runs that long.
Yeah.
It's long in the tooth. Technology and the world moves on.
Yeah.
The K car became king.
The K car.
Rescued Chrysler.
It did.
It was Chrysler's first real modern car, if you will, in the 80s, when one of my heroes, who maybe we can post this on our the blog.
Yeah.
I wrote to Lee Iacocca when I was in grammar school. We had to write to our heroes.
Right.
And who do I write to? Lee Iacocca.
You wonder if he ever got that.
He did. He sent the letter back to me.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I will show this to you.
Oh, wow.
Dear Michael, dear Mike, thank you for your interest in the Chrysler Corporation. I'm sending you a book. Now, I'm paraphrasing this, but this is pretty damn close because I've read this letter a number of times. I'm sending you this booklet for what we look for in our employees here at Chrysler.
I'm about to cry.
Really?
And it was signed. It was on Lee's letterhead, gold embossed Chrysler Corp letterhead, and Lee Iacocca signed it.
Wow.
That it's one of my most prized possessions.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And I was probably 11, 12 years old when I wrote to Lee.
So wait, what's the K car?
Oh, okay. So,
well, it's the frame for the chassis.
Yeah, the chassis. Okay. So the K car was Chrysler Corporation, kind of, they were in dire straits in the late 70s. They got a government loan. Keep them afloat. Lee Iacocca, who came from Ford Motor Company, Henry Ford II fired Lee Iacocca because they weren't the best friends.
Right.
And they kind of, that was oil and water.
Well, Lee had a personality.
And so did Henry the Deuce.
So, yeah.
So Henry Ford II fires Lee. Lee gets a job with Chrysler, who's on the balls of their ass. They get this loan from the government. Lee really pushes the development of the K car, front wheel drive, which compact. And you got to remember, sweet Melissa, this is when the auto industry or the United States was coming out of an oil crisis,
you know,
in the late
70s. They were inefficient. They're high pollution, so they made a lot of regulations. They need to make more efficient cars.
More efficient cars, and the good old American industry. We were a little late to the game. We were used to building our big cars, and that's what American consumers wanted up until gas, like, doubled in price, which I would pay that double price today, by the way.
Yeah.
Still cheaper than we pay at the pump. You know, I was reading an article the other day. Gas or crude oil went from $3 a barrel to $12.
Really?
I'm like, yeah.
Gas was that cheap.
Yeah, gas, you know, so gas went from what? Big Ed, gas, and say, $79.80. What was it a gallon? It was what, or before that, say 72, 73 right there. What was it a gallon?
It was under a buck. It was when I started driving.
Which was
a buck a gallon.
19 what?
82.
So it was 99 cents.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a time when gasoline was 40 cents a gallon.
Yep.
So anyhow, so Chrysler had to come up with, they came up with this front wheel drive car that was efficient and popular, and Chrysler sold a shit ton of them. And Lee Iacocca paid the government loan back like 4 years early.
Yep.
happens to be an Italian guy too. Lee's awesome. I read his book when I was a kid.
That's funny.
Because I've been a car guy my whole life like that. The movers and the shakers in the automobile industry have always been my heroes. I've always had an interest in those guys. Those guys and race car drivers those are the books I read. I'm really not that hoity-toity.
Right.
So there you go. So the Fifth Ave, we'll have the Fifth Ave here hopefully by next show. Maybe we can blog. You put a picture of the Fifth Ave up on the
we can
on the
that.
Blog. Yeah.
Yeah, or put it on the old
Twitter machine.
Yeah, and I think I do better with pictures on
Twitter.
Well, I could probably get a picture on the website. I'm gonna have to tinker around with the editor to see how that
works. And Big Ed was kind enough to gift to me a AFX racing team. And for the listeners who are not toy guys and toy collectors, Aurora AFX made some awesome slot cars in the 60s and 70s. Big Ed gifted me an Aurora AFX license plate. That's gonna be going in place of honor on the front of the old Fifth Ave.
There
you go. So do we have some music stuff to talk about?
Yes. I believe Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospect is...
Is that our next segment on Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
We
got to set that up.
Big Ed, are you still with us? Have I put you to sleep yet? Oh, there we go.
There it is. The fanfare means only one thing. It's Big Ed's show now.
Take over, Big Ed.
Thanks, Chuckles 1 and Chuckles 2.
Which one am I?
You can find over to give you something to talk about
we'll
during
that
the break.
Later.
Yeah. So I picked Jethro Tull Aqualung. It's the fourth studio album by a British rock band called Jethro Tull, mostly known for the flute playing of Ian Anderson, who is really the brains behind the whole thing. And I did this because last week I did Poco, which was a California band that did a lot of folksy rock, California style. Now this here is English folk. I don't know if when you listen to that, Big Mike, if you notice, it was some of it was kind of folky.
Oh, definitely very folky. And I think the blues and folk rock was really an influence in British rock and roll at that point in time. Am I correct?
Yes. So this is a big leap compared to what was Jethro Tull was doing earlier. Like if Casey and I were discussing the song for Jeffrey, which is probably one of the favorite blues songs I've heard. And that was off Jethro Tull's first album. Anyway, so the album came out in 1971. It was March 71, was recorded from April 70 to February 71 at Island Studios in London. The genre is progressive rock, folk, hard rock. It's 42 minutes long, released by Chrysalis Records. And it was produced by Ian Anderson. The album up to this date has sold over 7 million copies. Three times platinum in the United States. Germany, it's double gold, and in the UK, it was gold. So this was the best-selling Jethro Tull album. I would say Jethro Tull has probably sold 30 million albums worldwide, I would say.
Let me ask you this, Big Ed. What do you think really propelled this album to the levels it sold at and the popularity that the other Jethro Tull albums did not? What do you think, you know, really struck people on this one?
I think it was more of a record with a message. You know, there was a spiritual side to it, religion versus spirituality, if you listen. Because this album is like The Doors, Morrison Hotel had two albums. This side one was Aqualung, and side two is My God. And on side two,
had My God, Him 43, and Wind Up, which were all about religion. You know, like Wind Up is about actually God. He goes, because he is not the one that you wind up on Sundays. You know, for like for all those phonies that just go to church on Sunday and that's it. That's their, and then they're hypocrites the rest of the week, you know. You know what? The only thing I knew about this album back when I was younger was that Aqualung, Cross-Eyed Mary, you know. But then when I started listening to it, I had a friend of mine in when I was in Korea. We used to play this every night before we got ready to go out. And then I started hearing songs, you know, like Hymn 43, My God, Up to Me, Mother Goose, which is one of my favorites. The Mother Goose is, the lyrics are kind of a visual art of surreal figures based on images that Ian Anderson wrote with the same abstract ideas about, you know. Aqualung, just about, actually his wife helped. She's the only one that gets writing credit aside from Ian Anderson on this album, which was about the homeless on the Thames riverbed in London, you know. And Cross-Eyed Mary, you know, is about a schoolgirl prostitute who prefers her professors over her schoolmates, you know. Just a wide array of stuff on the Aqualung side, and the other side was all spiritual, like Mother Goose. Mother Goose is my favorite song on there. I don't know what you guys enjoyed. Jethro Tull consists of Ian Anderson. He plays lead vocals, acoustic guitar, and flute. Martin Barry is electric guitar, a very underrated guitarist. A lot of heavy riffs on this album. Jeffrey Hammond, backing vocals and play bass guitar and the organ. John Evan on piano, Clive Bunker on drums, and apparently this is Clive Bunker's last album with Jethro Tull. Started a family. Then there was some additional personnel. There was Glenn Cornick, who was the bass player, and after the American tour, he got fired. But he doesn't get any credit on this album. Just little tidbits of tracks, all written by Ian Anderson. Original North America Reprise Records pressings of Aqualung contained a slightly edited version of the title song. Then there were other pressings, and then there was a 40th anniversary which had outtakes and stuff. The album's a mix of English folk, rock, pop, and metal. Lauded as the 22nd best album of 1971. I didn't do that much homework on to check what was above or below it, but there was a lot of good music coming out in that area between 70 and 74, you know. It definitely was worth a listen to. Songs for Jeffrey, that, you know, is something some other older Tull fans might be used to. This is nothing like it. Steve Harris from Iron Maiden said that he's the bass player, called Aqualung a classic album, revering in its fantastic playing, song selection, attitude, and vibe. Actually, Iron Maiden would go and cover Cross-Eyed Mary as the B-side for The Trooper. So my last pick on this, so a good album, although at times it gets a bit like an SNL cowbell sketch, you know, we need more flute. This album puts the classic in classic rock for sure. It's hard not to listen to the lyrics when sang so deliberate and dramatic. So early on, you could start trying to figure out what Ian Anderson is saying. Like when you listen to this, you could hear what he's saying. Like right off the bat, that was also another impression, the way the delivery of the lyrics. You know, some songs you gotta listen to and figure out the words, and then you start piecing together the meanings. This right off the bat, you could tell this is some deep messages in the song, and it comes out pretty early on. You know, you don't have to listen to five or six times to go, oh. He just enunciates, and it's just the delivery of it. I think that's what makes it such a great album.
What hit me with the album, as you said, is a lot of flute. The only other albums rock albums that had this much flute would be from the Marshall Tucker Band.
Yeah, Marshall Tucker was flute.
Yeah, they were fluted up with Marshall Tucker, just like this Tull album, fluted
up.
Did
you like it? What did you think?
I liked it because I liked a lot of it. And again, as I listened to it, I was like, holy shit, this on FM rock radio, classic rock, you know, like a classic rock format, you know, Cross-Eyed Mary, Aqualung, and Locomotive Breath, they get played pretty regularly.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy rotation off of one album. So this album, big milestone with Jethro Tull.
Yeah,
and
it's probably their cornerstone album, really, in the end.
Well, no one thought that, you know what? And the other thing is no one ever thought Jethro Tull could write music because they were just known as a live act before this album came out. You understand, Jethro Tull had been around 4 or 5 years already. I mean, they played with the Rolling Stones at the Rolling Stone Rock and Roll Circus. So they had some connections with a lot of the English acts that were, you know, the Animals, the Beatles, the Stones. They were rubbing elbows with all those guys back in the 60s. You know, but they were just known as, these guys are just animals on the road. And when they put this out, they were like, wow, these guys can write too. You know, because they were just known for their live performances. You know, if you ever get a chance, I'm going to send you something. You could post the link, the song for Jeffrey, which Casey and I were discussing earlier in the week. Just what a great performance and just what a great song.
Yes, agreed. So it's my favorite. Never gets old for me.
So I'm going to put
it. I may have heard it, and I have, but I can't recall it. So I'm going to have to give it a listen. So, but this album, enjoyable album. It's not predictable. Let's say that, you know, from track to track.
Different. It's a little bit of everything. You got a little folk. You got a little rock and roll. You got some nice heavy riffs on there. Some country. Just in an English, manner.
So Big
Ed, known as the minstrel of rock and roll.
Yep. And listening to this album, that is very evident, and with a nickname like that, for sure. So, but like you said, his vocalization on this album, you didn't have to listen hard and like, what is he saying? What are the lyrics? You know, your first time through the album, you get a gist on it. You go, wow,
pretty. Yeah, just something that. Yeah, it's kind of pretty in your face. You know, I mean, lyrically, it's no mistaking what he's saying. I kind of like that.
Which I find it very surprising that on main, you know, terrestrial radio, which is so blah, that these songs get such heavy rotation when. You sit and listen to the songs and really understand what they're about.
Oh, there's a lot of hidden gems in this. I mean, this album's definitely a solid three. I mean, you get the three songs that are the Locomotive Breath, Aqualung, Cross-Eyed Mary, which are very good songs, have a lot of airplay on them. There's also five or six other gems in there that didn't make it to the air.
I think those were the real.
Yes,
rock
those are the hidden gems in there, of course. Of course, I agree. That's why I like to listen, you know, I start to finish.
So this one gets a three, huh, Big Ed?
Yeah, you have to. This thing is timeless. This is the classic of classic rock. You know, I mean, this puts the classic in classic rock. I mean, this is the epitome of it. That, you know, Brown Sugar, you know. Stairway to Heaven. You know, this is one of those. You can listen to any classic rock station in the United States and hear this song during the day.
So is that your final word on this album?
Yeah, the classic of classic rock.
Excellent.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, that's a good take there, Big Ed. Thank you. And with that, we have a new segment. That calls for a new set of
sound.
I was going to suggest, are there any banjos on there? I'd like a banjo for the intro to my my segment. We'll have to work on that.
Oh, okay, here we go. Now it's off to Big Mike's
Big Cosmic Country Cavalcade.
Yeah, there we go.
So Big Ed inspired me, and Big Ed actually listened to one of my albums two weeks ago. Really, I told Casey, I said, you know what, I'd like to have a music segment. Nothing like Big Ed's, because I don't want to steal his thunder, because I truly believe Big Ed, he knows music.
Professor.
He's a professor.
Yeah.
Big Ed knows music, understands music, and can really, you know, pick it apart and show us lay people what's really underlying in these songs. But I was like, I think I can give this a try with a Cosmic Country Cavalcade. So staying in our theme in 1971, I picked an album, and an album that's kind of near and dear to my heart, which will coincide with the album we spoke about last week. Album I selected that came out in 1971 was New Riders of the Purple Sage,
yep.
Their self-titled album. And on this album, Jerry Garcia plays the steel guitar, which he played on both the American Beauty album and on Working Man's Dead. So this was his venture out into the genre of country rock, and this is, the New Riders were a opening band for the Grateful Dead in their first year and a half of existence, until they got a steel guitar player by the name of Buddy Cage to take over Jerry Garcia's job, and then they started to tour on their own.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to, this kind of music, what I really love about country rock music, it takes, I really, 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 truly love country music, but this takes country music in a direction where everything country music can be, with no limitation, no walls, no boundaries. And this album is one of the first vinyl albums when I got my setup downstairs at Studios, here at Studio C's.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first album I actively went out to find to play. In fact, I played the album at lunch this week. So this one, if anybody wants to kind of dive into country rock, get their feet wet with this type of music, I would say start with this album. My favorites on the album would be Portland Woman, Louisiana Lady. Those are my two faves. And I Don't Know You, which is the first song on the album. Those are my three faves off the album. They are the most country sounding songs on the album, because there's some rockers on here that, if you listen to it, you could go, oh, that's a Grateful Dead song. You know, there's Dirty Business, Glendale Train, definitely sound like good old Grateful Dead songs. And Last Lonely Eagle, I think, is also very Dead-like. So that's my two cents. Another great album from 71. And I concur with Big Ed that, you know, in that the early 70s, 70, I'm even going to say for 68 to, you know, 74, 75, there's a lot of great music that came out. So there you go. That's the first installment of Big Mike's Cosmic Country Cavalcade. And go out there. Let's listen to these albums. Go, if you guys haven't listened to this Jethro Tull album, go listen to Aqualung. Pick up, get your ass on iTunes if you don't have a record player, and listen to these albums. And check out New Riders' The Purple Sage.
Nice.
Yeah. It's not Big Ed, but it's Big Mike.
Yeah, it's good. Very good.
Thank you.
So we.
Nice job, Big Mike.
Thank you, Big Ed. That means a lot coming from you. One of my idols. This is true. This is not. That's fact. So what do we got? We got anything else for these people out there today?
You know, I was thinking, though, on the drive home, because I commute and there's rush hour and there's a electronic billboard, which those always fascinate me. And I think from the advertising end, that's smart. You can maximize it. Sure, initial investment is probably expensive, but you can put multiple ads. Well, they had an ad for Entertainment Tonight. Hey, we're doing this interview, and you got to get home by 7 because, you know.
Oh, shit.
Emma, whoever, who's Cruella DeVille, she's about to get interviewed. I'm like, shit, she's going to make a Dalmatian coat. I'm like hauling ass. I'm running people off the road. I mean, what else are they going to put on that billboard? Like, you're stuck in traffic. You see, like, it's going to be on TV that night. And you're like, oh, shit. You're like, time to road rage.
I know what it would be.
What?
They're going to open Al Capone's vault.
Oh,
and that's what's going to make me rush home to see it.
I could see, at 8 o'clock, a very special Family Ties. Alex P. Keaton gets diddled by the janitor. can't miss that one.
Can't miss that episode. Yeah, what else could you, what other TV? Entertainment Tonight would not be the one that I would be rushing.
I'm like, it just cracks me up. It's like,
you know what? Since Mary Hart left, I don't give a damn about Entertainment
Tonight.
It's such
a throwaway show. They should just have a cam of her legs, just a picture.
My grandfather used to try to look up her skirt. This is a fact. This is a fact.
You would need a 4K TV to try that.
And this is like 1986, 87 when he's trying to do it. So just think about the pixelization of that.
He's like, my damn cataracts can't see.
So, yeah, Entertainment Tonight would not be on there. What about...
Call Me Fat.
Definitely not on there. I would turn around and go back to work.
Yeah. I thought it was a very silly show to advertise that way.
You know what? What else could you put up there? I would advertise food in the rush home. Your drive time home? I'm hungry on my drive time.
Oh, yeah.
I would put a big pickled herring advertisement up. These pickled herring doesn't get enough, enough credit because we don't live in Minnesota.
Oh, you betcha.
Isn't that where they eat all that shit?
Yeah, they kind of
like
that.
The upper Midwest?
Yeah. The Scandinavians?
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, no, I'm out on that.
Gelatinized fish. But maybe if we put them on the Super Billboard, gelatin fish might take off.
Ugh. Sounds so gross.
You could buy stock in Pickled Herring Incorporated.
What if it said now at Taco Bell?
The Pickled Herring Taco?
Yeah, there you go.
That sounds repulsive. Repulsive. They could TMZ. They could advertise what's next on TMZ.
Yeah, we just stuck through this guy's trash can. Can't, be there at 7:30 as it happens.
Could happen.
Yeah, well.
Do you think that would make people want to get home faster? Or do you think they'd stop off at Walmart to pick something up?
No, they're like, man, they're digging through Tom Cruise's trash can. I can't miss that.
There might be some kind of Scientology breakthrough.
Yeah.
And Leah Remini will show up to tell him it's all bullshit. Tell me that's the show I'd want to see. There you go. On that billboard, if it was Tom Cruise and Leah Remini debate Scientology, I would haul my ass home.
You got to have a neutral moderator.
Could we use Meredith Vieira?
Yeah.
No. Or would
you think got nothing else going on?
Yeah, as long as you
don't make no. Matt Lauer. Come on. We could get Matt Lauer back on TV with that. No,
absolutely not. Too soon.
Too soon?
No, not too soon. Come on. That guy's grown a Letterman beard and shaved it 3 times since he's been off the air.
So too soon for the Matt Lauer, huh?
No, the timing is perfect for him to come back.
And that would be the thing. Because
with the political correctness going on, come on, it'd be perfect. The Me Toos would be like, wah, he looked at me.
And guess what they would do? They would tune into the show to see it. There you go.
Yes, that's exactly what would happen.
Big Ed, I think we have a hit on our hands. I'm going to write the networks.
I'm gonna go a hard no on this one, dog.
Really?
After I get my Roosevelt Franklin script approved.
Should we invite? Do you think if we invite Leah Remini and Tom Cruise onto our podcast to discuss Scientology, that they would?
Of course, they just don't know where to tune in.
You think we could get an interview with Matt Lauer? Would we want to interview with Matt Lauer?
No, not really. I don't find him that interesting.
No.
Tom Cruise would be hard to get a hold of because he's like in Italy filming.
Oh.
Yeah, like, you know, he's
what is he
he's
doing?
Not
Spaghetti done. Western?
No. He's doing Mission Impossible, but they're like all
Spaghetti
over.
Western, was that
they,
from...
That's like the last
Once Upon a Time in America.
Like really action movies, they do shoot on locations.
What was that, Big Ed?
That was kind of a plot from Once Upon a Time in America.
What, Spaghetti Westerns?
Yeah, what was the name of that character? He went out there and did a few movies.
I didn't see the movie.
Oh.
But Clint Eastwood was in Spaghetti Westerns, Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Wait, are you talking about like they call them Trinity? Those? They're like the Italian Spaghetti Western?
No, the movie Once Upon a Time in America.
That's the Italian movie.
Oh yeah.
The Italians, I guess, at one time in the 60s were obsessed with the American Westerns.
And they made.
They would get American actors to do it because they couldn't pull it off. So one of the plots in Once Upon a Time in America, the character, I forget his name, Jake Tanner or something, the fuck he was. Leonardo DiCaprio played an Asian actor, and he went to Italy and did spaghetti westerns and made, you know, a good amount of money.
Well, I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Once Upon a Time in America?
I've heard of it.
With DiCaprio?
Yeah.
No.
DiCaprio, who else? The one that was married to Angelina. Oh, Brad Pitt was in it?
That was...
I know what you're talking about. It was Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, as it was.
Oh, it's really good. It was a really good movie.
Yeah, and it kind of tied in the whole...
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Big Ed.
Yeah, you know what I meant, whatever.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
It's a fucking movie.
We're there.
Petey's eating shrimp. I'm very concerned about my aquatic situation.
You see, like, a little cocktail sauce jar he's got, like, hidden?
Yeah, he's back there, and he's got a big lawn chair back there and shit. It's just got sunglasses, you know.
He's got melted butter. He's like, how does he keep the melted butter underwater?
I don't know. He's Petey. He can do it. You know, the drawn butter is wonderful.
And he swims it off at 2 a.m. to keep his figure.
You know, but he's got to be careful because shrimp, they're high in cholesterol.
They are high in cholesterol.
So, Petey, take it easy on the shrimp. Yeah. We don't need to have cholesterol issues.
Yeah, I don't want him to wipe out the...
Right, is
the,
that Lipitor? He'll need...
And you need, but if he needs to lower his A1C, Ozempic.
Petey could be doing a commercial for Ozempic.
Yeah, yeah. You just play that music with him swimming around. He's getting more exercise than the other guy.
He is.
Is that movie any good? The Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It's a great movie. I would say you guys should watch it after this, and then we could discuss.
All right. So at Once Upon a Time in America. It's Tarantino, so it's got to be pretty decent. I'm a fan of his filmmaking.
It's great. It's a whole twist on the Sharon Tate murders and
right.
It's just well written, you know.
That's a guy that's really kind of all over the board with his interests, and I like his movies, and I think Big Ed can appreciate this. He always has good music in his movies.
Who, Tarantino? Always,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a strange character. He was. I've seen him on Jimmy Fallon and stuff. He likes to play old board games and stuff.
He wants to do a Star Trek movie.
I heard this. He wants to do a Star Trek movie. How do you think a Tarantino Star Trek movie would?
Well, first off, you don't have Sam Jackson dropping the F-bomb in a Star Trek movie.
Why
not doing it right?
Yeah, that's right. That's
I mean, you could pull in the whole Pulp Fiction line. Like, what language do they speak on the planet Watt? Say Watt one more time to me, motherfucker.
There you have it.
Yeah, I just watched the whole Picard thing, and it was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, really good. The series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one, I was like, I was on the fence, but after the second one, I go, okay, this is going to work.
What is it, kind of like the...
Well, he's older now. He's retired from the Federation.
Right.
And they kind of re-enlist him back in.
Well, he forces himself because he's finding, like, some corruption, and there's a lot of plot twists to this one.
Interesting.
Yeah. And everybody's in it. They're, whoever's alive is in it.
Is,
That's right.
Kirk in it? Well, no. The
this is the next gen.
Oh, next generation.
You know, Jonathan Frakes.
Shatner just turned 90 this week. Did Shatner? He's doing, like, commercials for CPAP machines.
Whoever will hire him, he'll do it, you know?
That guy, if we offer him money, we could definitely get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
So he's for hire. He's a hired guy.
Oh, no. He,
donuts and coffee and 50 bucks.
He works.
Yeah.
You know, nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
He's also Mr. T.J. Hooker.
Yeah, T.J. Hooker. Yep. Great. Yeah. Great. Cop show. How many seasons did they? Like 3-4 out of that one?
No, I think longer than that.
Yeah.
TJ slide across the hood.
TJ Hooker, did that try to compete with Fall Guy?
I believe it was trying to compete against Fall Guy.
And this is why I didn't watch TJ Hooker often, because I was a Fall Guy fan.
Yeah.
Big Fall Guy. Still a Fall Guy fan.
Just the truck itself was enough to watch the show.
Absolutely.
Yep.
The GMC long bed, four-wheel drive, yeah.
With the lights?
Yeah.
The Casey lights?
The Casey highlights, yeah.
Hey, if you find that in a slot car, that's big money. They made a handful of those.
I know. I think I remember the set.
Yeah.
It's the same.
You know what? It's the same set as the Dukes of Hazzard set. They just changed the little cardboard scenery in the track color.
Right. That was made by Ideal.
No. Autoworld makes a Dukes of Hazzard set, and all they did was they recycled the Fall Guy track and just made it Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, you know which one I was speaking of? The original. Do you remember the original?
Ideal.
Ideal. And they weren't.
But
they were
junk. You can't get You can't get parts. So the
The bodies are the only thing good.
Yeah. Or we weren't.
No, I'm good. That's just now I'm day shift. Now I'm up early, so 9 o'clock. I'm like kind of tired now. Where before I'm just getting warmed up.
Now, how does that? You know, we're behind the curtain with your day job, with the switch of the shifts. That's a big deal, right? When you're
going
from days to nights and nights to days.
Yeah, but it's a better transition, you know. Because now I'm going to bed when it's dark. I wake up, it's day, you know, like most people.
Like a normal human being?
It's an early day. My day starts at, 5 a.m. My day at work.
You're at your shop at 5 a.m.?
At 5 a.m.
Woof. That's an early start.
Yeah.
And I thought my 7:30 start was bad. That's a walk in the park.
It's just harder work than the Montecito, let me tell you.
I can imagine.
But it's all good. No, you guys aren't boring me at all.
One last thing before we close up the show.
One more.
One more.
How's our friends at the Waffle House? What are they listening to this week?
Another one. actually, they're not. Their jukebox, and this has happened months ago, their jukebox is offline.
I think you fucking broke it.
Well, it could be a couple things. It could be their internet and what have you. And someone probably didn't realize to go and, like, reboot something.
Or they might have taken a sledgehammer to it. you know, the 53rd time, you know,
well, a lot of disco.
What was the last disco song we had?
I think it was Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Okay, so the 53rd time they heard Boogie Wonderland.
Yes.
They just lose their mind. And
so, you know, just to let people in, this is the first time listening to the show, I perform Gorilla Jukebox. And I drive by places and I play the jukebox with an app.
So if you want to download that app and you want a Gorilla Jukebox on your own, hey, we encourage this.
Yes.
We encourage, you know, your tomfoolery. Tomfoolery. Yeah, tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Tomfoolery.
So, but it's offline, huh?
It's offline. This happened before, like 2 months ago, and then it came back on. I'm guessing something has to get reset. Just like anything else, it's usually just recycle power when electronics aren't working.
Turn them off, turn them back on.
Yep.
Kind of like our show.
I should just go in there like, hey, you know what? I just noticed I'm driving by and just like unplugging and replugging the jukebox and then just...
They're see. Like, see you later, guys!
Like, oh, that's weird.
Why did that strange man come in and fool with our jukebox?
Or you just walk in and say,
I'm jukebox
man. Do you know your jukebox
isn't working? I don't know if you noticed... You know, it's a trap. So.
Well, they could be doing that to lure me in. And that would be a trap.
Could be. What would they lure you in to do?
What about the faxes at your office, Casey?
Oh, well, I did send one because I wanted to wait till some personnel came back. And then the current fax I sent this week was a picture of a dinosaur, and it just said, "Do you miss me?" And that's all it was.
Was it a hand-drawn dinosaur by you?
No, because I got to get away from hand-drawing anything.
Yes.
So,
you got to start with the ransom letters, you know.
Yeah, really freak them out.
I got stuff with
fonts
that will come out, and I got pictures. But yeah, a picture of a dinosaur, and it says, "Do you miss me?"
Of course.
That can mean a lot of things.
Everybody misses dinosaurs. Doesn't miss a dinosaur.
I might have pictures of the dinosaurs that you see on I-4.
Mm-hmm.
I always snap a picture of it for Jimmy when I'm going to Tampa to remind him to get his wallet out, you know.
What's the story behind that?
Because Jimmy hardly ever pays when we go out. Either his wife pays or I pay. So I always call them like dinosaur arms, and then when I go by that
tyrannosaurus.
Oh, he's got alligator.
Yeah,
arms.
Yeah.
I can't reach it.
Yeah. It's in here somewhere. I know I got pictures. If I find them, I'll send them to you. You can send them in your next fax.
So for our non-Florida listeners, on Interstate 4 there is what is Dinosaur Land?
No. Oh, yeah, Dinosaur Land. Was that outside of Plant City?
Yeah, outside of Plant City, Florida, off of I-4. There's two, and you know those...
I've never been there. What is it?
I've never... They got fake dinosaurs in the woods, and I read about it. The dinosaurs come from Germany. Those are German-made fake dinosaurs.
Oh.
Deutschland!
You love our dinosaurs.
Love our dinosaurs. They come with, you know, beer and pretzels.
Yeah, you feed them chicken wings. They find them delicious.
So.
Yeah, that's strudel.
Yeah.
Strudels.
Yeah.
Yeah, strudels. Yeah, they're good. Spätzles and the green beans. So, yeah. So, I think they have.
Venus schnitzel.
Hey, you ever drink Spaten? The beer Spaten? It's a German beer. They have a Spaten. Munich, there's a... I used to enjoy the Spaten Doppelbach. It was a dark brew.
It's a dark, very heavy beer.
Very, and it could just, the farts can just peel the paint off the wall. You can't even, it's so bad you can't stand it yourself.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. I had roommates back in Tampa a long time ago. They're like, you were at the Brauhaus last night, man. You fucking smell.
Nick, well, it's just about to get worse.
Yep, because here's another night of Spartans.
That's what really killed Duckweed.
The Spartan Sparts?
Yeah. Could have been the Spartans. I'm if I was the gambling man, I would say it was because the duck doesn't have its feathers.
Well, hey, you know. But back to the dinosaur land, Yang, so we can get this out. It's like fake dinosaurs, like life-size dinosaurs in the woods. You like walk through the woods and, oh, look, there's a fake dinosaur.
Yeah.
It's been there a long time, and there's two arrows in the cheek of the Tyrannosaurus, I believe.
Yeah.
When you drive by. Two arrows, like Land of the Lost style. The old TV show. You remember that TV show?
Oh, really? Someone shot it?
Yeah.
I've never noticed.
Next time you, Big Ed, next time you ride by, there's two arrows in the Tyrannosaurus' cheek, his left cheek.
Well, there would be a lot of hillbillies around that area that would try to do that.
It wouldn't surprise me. I told you about driving to Miami. This is like 30 years ago.
This will feed my family for 30 years.
I was driving an alligator alley, and they had like these yellow diamond signs that would say, you know, caution, only so many panthers left in existence in this area. So I'm about halfway through Alligator Alley, and this is when it was the two-lane road, before it became part of the interstate system. There was a sign that said, caution, only 30 panthers left in existence in this area. And someone stopped, took a black spray paint through the 30 and put a 29 underneath. And it was like a buckshot through it. And I thought, man, I just laughed so hard.
That's I just imagined
bad. Yeah, a bunch of rednecks all yahooed up on a Friday night in a big Ford F-250 stop, you know. Hey, that's not true. We just shot one. Click, click, pow.
Meanwhile, the guy that's shooting the arrow at the Tyrannosaurus, you know, some officers talking, he's like, but officer, I just want to get a Brontosaurus burger. I think that's still in season.
Brent Flintstone got him. Why can't I?
I got my hunting tag.
Yeah, guy got off work. He slid down the Brontosaurus tail and everything to get there.
The Brontosaurus ribs made the car flip on the side at the drive-in.
Yeah.
If you go to Texas Day Brazil, they will bring you Brontosaurus ribs. Well, they're beef ribs, but they look like Brontosaurus ribs.
Yes.
So, yikes. Pretty tasty, by the way. Yummy.
The first time I was there, ExpressJet took us out there for something we had accomplished one summer. And we racked up like a $1,200 tab at the bar. And the Lon's like, yeah, I think it's time to go, guys. It's like, okay.
Time to go. So, speaking of time to go...
It's time to go.
It's time to go.
It's time to go.
So, thanks everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show as much as we've enjoyed bringing you the show. We're going to do this again next week, whether you like it or not.
Share, like, subscribe. You can find us. We have our website, warmbeerandcheapseats.com. You can connect with us. We'd like to hear from you, the fans. Now, also, I want to leave you with a final note. Justice for Ann Murray. We're going to make it happen.
What happened to Brittany? Kicked her to the curb for Ann Murray? I can appreciate that.
I'm progressive. We move forward. That was yesterday's news.
Ann Murray, huh?
Yes, Ann Murray.
Why does she need justice?
Listen, if Carol King's getting in,
I got you. We got to get Ann Murray in.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to make it happen, folks. Dreams do come true. Don't give up on your dreams.
But we're going to give up on the show for tonight.
Song,
good night.
Song for Jeffrey. Good night.